Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. This is going to be a really empowering hour. You're going to learn about a new study from Tokushima University in Japan about how the chaga, C-H-A-G-A mushroom, is a natural way to regrow your hair. That's good. Then we're going to talk about, from the Taijin 5th Central Hospital in China, folic acid, vitamin A, and vitamin C will help give you much greater bone mineral density. Considering how many people in America suffer from osteoporosis, that's good news. Then we're going to talk about Boston University's Medical School's plant-based diets improve cardiac function and cognitive health. That's also important new information. And from Trinity College Dublin, how fear of memory loss impacts your well-being and quality of life. That's important for a lot of people. And then from the National Institute of Neurology and Neurosurgery, a diet of fish, olives, modifies the membrane properties that can impact our brains and be protective of our neurons. Okay, that's good. And from Shizaz University of Medical Sciences in Iran, soy intake is associated with lowering blood pressure in adults. This was a meta-analysis looking at many different studies that were randomized and double-blind, placebo-controlled. So those are some of the things we're going to take on today as far as always from respected institutions, high quality, published in peer-reviewed journals, and all this information found on PubMed. But then we're going to also take you on a journey. I'm going to do a commentary, and I'm going to combine several things in my commentary. The first thing that I'm going to do is say, is this 1957 again? What was happening in the mid-50s? McCarthyism. Yeah. Well, how did we get back to McCarthyism? Except today, McCarthyism is not by some radical right-wing person working with, like Joe McCarthy, working with J. Edgar Hoover at the FBI. Rather, it is unfortunate, but it's virtually all of the intelligence states that act like governments to themselves, accountable to nobody. I'll prove that today. And they're using the Democrat corporate media and the politicians. This is completely aside from liberals, because it was the liberals who were the victims of McCarthyism. And now it is the people who once might have been a liberal, but no liberal would engage in the kind of identity politics and personal hate attacks that is happening today on a massive scale. And that will bring me into what is likely to happen next. And I'll go through that in some detail. Also today, we'll be taking a look at an article published by the Children's Health Defense Fund, Robert Kennedy's group, investigating the links between Anthony Fauci, to the controversial experiments that may have led to the pandemic. Let me put this in proper perspective and context. Is it possible that the czar of all COVID could have caused COVID, the pandemic? We'll show you the evidence, and you make up your mind after that. Also, just to give you quick updates, I'm going to give you a lot of quick updates today, right after health and nutrition, including this, for example, from a whistleblower from Germany. 25 residents in a German nursing home died right after the Pfizer vaccine. Why didn't we know that? Why didn't we hear about that? Now, yesterday I had Reiner Fulmich on, talking about the people they're suing, because they believe the entire edifice of the COVID pandemic is resting upon a flawed model, and that's the PCR test. And once you take the PCR test, you have a very high probability of being told you have the virus when you don't. And as a result, now you're on a list. And now it's expected that you must take the vaccine. I'll tell you about what they're trying to do to encourage people to take the vaccine and what they're going to do to people who don't take the vaccines. Yeah. For example, the Washington Post just published an article by Dori Segev and Marty Maker, professors at Johns Hopkins, one school I don't quote anything from because I know how political it is. And they want to see something new. Quote, local lawmakers to allow immunity nights or designated days or times for businesses to accommodate immune customers at a higher capacity. Quote, it's time we mature our guidance. So you mean that if you can prove that you have been vaccinated, you're allowed to shop or allowed to go to someplace. But if you haven't, that means you're excluded? Wow. You thought it couldn't get any worse? It's just the beginning of bad. You don't know bad. Suicide, that's bad. Yes. Poverty, rampant now, more than ever before in American history. Yes. But that's just the beginning, because you don't know what the new reset's going to be doing. You might have believed when the talking heads on television. Big mistake. So we have a lot to share with you. Oh, and we're going to share a video. If I had to guess, I would say this is George Carlin's secret sister. You understand why when you hear what she has to say. Man, she throws it down about vaccines. Whoa. But we need something like that. And just take out the energy and say, what is she actually saying and does it make sense? Okay. We'll have a look at that as well. So we have a lot to share. I'll get to as much of it as I can, but we always start with the latest on health and healing. Now, there are a lot of medicinal mushrooms. In fact, most mushrooms are medicinal, and they're most medicinal when they've been lightly cooked because it releases the polyphenols and the healing nutrients. That's why I always recommend something like a mushroom leek soup or potato mushroom leek soup or a miso mushroom soup, where you can use a variety of mushrooms. And each one, the maitake, the oyster mushroom, the stem mushroom, the lion's mane mushroom, the white button mushroom, they are all good for you. Then you put them into a nice stew. They're good also. Saute them. But chaga is the latest one. And chaga has been shown to help alopecia, or ADA, that's the condition known as falling hair, falls out in patches. And research suggests it is caused by the immune system attacking the hair follicles, causing them to shrink and slow down hair production. Because of this, alopecia is called an autoimmune disorder. So according to statistics, alopecia is a common autoimmune disorder that affects almost 7 million people in the United States alone. One in five people who suffer from alopecia has a family member with the same condition, hair loss. And so what they have found here is that research done at Tokushima University found that the natural chemicals in the chaga, which is a fungi, and it grows on the birch and other trees, it's traditionally used to treat gastrointestinal diseases and to maintain healthy hair in many countries in Asia. So they did a study and they found out that the phytochemicals found in that chaga mushroom, C-H-A-G-A, contains plenty of potential anti-alopecia agents. And this was published in the Perry Journal of Natural Medicine. So good to know. And chaga is easy to get. So if you want to help yourself, if you have falling hair, that will simply do it. That one of the things that will do it. There's also a cap that's a lot of places sell. I've recommended to people, and it's benefited them. It looks like a hockey hat, and you put it on your head, and it's got, depending upon how much you pay, is how many of the little laser lights it has. It might have 100, 200. The more laser points flashing this little red flash, and it changes throughout the 20 minutes or so that it's on. Use it every other day. But I found that to be the single best thing to stop hair from falling out, to thicken it up, and then what you do with your diet helps your hair regrow, but this stimulates latent follicles to come back alive. So I've had people, I've seen it with my own eyes. People came in and over a period of 6 months, a guy grew a whole new head of hair. So now imagine adding in the chaga to that. From the Fifth Central Hospital in China, if you take folic acid and vitamin A and vitamin C together, you're going to increase your bone density, and that can help everybody. Remember, your bones are also where you part of your immune system are created, the B cells. So you want healthy minerals in your bones. From a major study shows that mothers' diets can boost the immune system of premature infants. Now, I mentioned on yesterday's program, this was published in Nature Communications, I mentioned how a bad diet that the mother was taking can really adversely affect the developing fetus, which then manifests later in life with obesity and other problems. Well, the opposite is also true. When a mother's diet is healthy, there are biological mechanisms underlying the connections here that will help the preemies or premature baby, and especially if they're breastfed, they have a more robust ability to fight diseases. So during the diet phase, meaning a mother should be very conscious that everything is taking into her body, that's what's feeding the developing fetus. And when the child is born, her breast milk becomes the best vaccination she can give him. Now, specifically, they found that the cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower, you're going to have a stronger protection against different conditions. So get your vegetables and your fruits, nuts, and seeds in the diet. Speaking of getting that kind of healthy diet, Boston University Medical School found that if you want to improve your heart health and brain function, change your diet. The Boston University School of Medicine researchers have found that by eating more plant-based foods, like all your berries and all your green leafy vegetables, and of course limit or don't take at all foods high in saturated fats and animal products, you can slow down heart failure and ultimately lower your risk of cognitive decline and dementia. By the way, heart failure is a big deal. We have millions of Americans suffering from heart failure. So make sure that your diet isn't one of the culprits. And finally, from Trinity College Dublin, research from the Global Brain Health Initiative at the Institute at Trinity College suggested if you experience high levels of fear about dementia or memory loss, that can affect the quality of your life, and that affects your well-being. There's a lot you can do to improve your brain, in effect to develop new dendrites, to help the mitochondria, to eliminate the amyloid plaque. You can do a lot. It's a lot you can do to prevent tooth decay, but you can't do it if you don't brush your teeth and floss and even water pick. You're going to have bad gums. You're going to end up with periodontal conditions or gingivitis and rotting teeth if you neglect it. Well, we neglect our brains. We never think when we're drinking alcohol. You could have a million brain cells dead with one drink. We don't think of the consequences. So dementia simply ends up being the stage in life where you begin to forget, and then you start losing cognition. You walk in a room, you don't know why you're there. You just read something, you forget what you read. You had a conversation, don't remember the conversation. Can't remember someone's last name. But there's so much we can do. Just start with the simple basics, just the very basic. Alpha-lipoic acid, 600 milligrams a day. Very important would be a B complex, 50 milligrams a day. Coenzyme Q10, 400 milligrams a day. L-carnosine at 1,000 milligrams a day for each. Magnesium at 1,000 milligrams. Now, there's a lot more, but that's things we can find that are not expensive that we can use that can help the brain. And vitamin C, of course. So that's important. And also from the Neurology and Neurosurgery National Institute of Mexico, they found that the more fish and olives and olive oil that you consume, the healthier you're going to be, and especially your brain. Okay? It's that simple, not complicated. Mind you, solutions are always simple. I've yet to find a problem that didn't have a simple solution. Occam's razor. Use the razor, cut through the fat, go right to the heart of what you want to solve. And it's when we give excuses for not willingly changing what has caused the problem, when we want to hold on to some part of it, and we never ask ourselves, what benefit do I gain by keeping something within my life that shouldn't be there? An unhealthy diet, whatever. And we don't think in the way that, why would anyone do something foolish if they're going to suffer consequences? Because we don't realize they're also gaining something, even if what they're gaining is unreasonable and makes no sense. Okay? That's the latest on health and healing. Now I'm going to do a short, quick run-through of some of the important things that are going on in the world that you may not have heard about, but we want to bring it to you because you're not going to see this in the mainstream media, and all this has been independently verified. 12 residents die after first COVID vaccine in Wales nursing home and their dementia care center. And by the way, we're finding this all over the world, and we're being told, well, there's no problem. Yeah, there is a problem. For the people who die, that's a big problem. Then another issue here that's important, and it's in the, and some of these are dealing with different topics. This one is from Science Alert. Huge global study of plastic toys finds over 100 toxic substances that can harm children. We have used too much plastic in everything. In fact, have you ever noticed some items you get, like a battery, and you want to open it up and you got to use scissors and a crowbar to get the darn thing open? We have gone to an extreme in using plastic. We should have a whole movement now of how to eliminate plastic. And in fact, I thought it would be kind of nice. I came up with this idea, but I'm willing to give it to you. Anyone who wants to use it can use it. Have hemp bags that have a label on them, so it's all biodegradable. So whatever you're buying in something that is going to biodegrade. It's not going to become forever chemical. It's non-toxic. Helps the planet because hemp is a carbon, it is a carbon sink. It holds in to its root systems carbon dioxide, and that's good. And gives the world oxygen, and that's good too. So just a simple solution. Kentucky experiences historic flooding following record rainfall from EchoWatch. Quote, Kentucky's coping with historic flooding after a weekend of record-breaking rainfall, enduring water rescues, evacuations, and emergency declarations. More than a dozen rainfall records were broken in the state on Sunday alone. 2 to 4 inches in 72 hours. And while a few places received 10 inches of rain. Now, mind you, a lot of that area of Kentucky is hard rock or clay, same way down in a lot of areas in southern Texas or in Georgia. So water has no place to go. So it's going to pool, and that's where you get a lot of flooding. But Kentucky is a wonderful state. There's a lot of opportunity in Kentucky. It's very progressive with the people, very loving people. This is from Brian, and Brian Chauvet from Health Impact News. He's the editor. He does a good job over there, and he's reliable. This is from Vera Sherov. Quote, it is astonishing that the government of Israel entrusted the health of the people to Pfizer by entering into a secret contract that enrolled the Israeli population to become research subjects without their knowledge or consent. Quote, are more people being harmed by the Pfizer experimental vaccine than from COVID. Israeli population now the world's lab rats sold out to Pfizer. To date, Israel has vaccinated over 53% of their population, twice the percentage of the next closest nation, Britain, at 26%. But here's the headlines. Quote, death rates skyrocket in Israel following Pfizer experimental COVID vaccines. Okay. We're giving you the headlines because you're not going to see these anywhere else. This is from Common Dreams. A red alert on our planet. New UN report shows radically bolder action needed to hit 1.5 Celsius target. It's, quote, staggering how far off track countries are in dealing with the climate crisis. The United Nations report on Friday reveals just how far off the world is from meeting the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement based on the emissions reduction plans that governments across the globe have put forth for the next decade. Well, we gave you this story many times over the last 12 years. And here's what it is. Your three most prolific polluters, China, United States, and India, and two of those are the two most populous nations on the planet. Together, they represent about 2.6 billion people. And yet, we, the United States, are the number one polluter in the world per population. And here's the irony. The more educated Americans, the more prosperous Americans, the professional class that I talk about, of 17 million professionals, the millionaire class, the billionaire class, they're the worst polluters. From the private jets and the excess homes and the lifestyle, and their consumption patterns. And the poorest people are the least polluters. So who gets lectured? The person that has to take a bus, a bike, a car someplace, or the person who flies in jets? The person who flies in jets is not the one who has anyone criticize them. It's, unfortunately, this is the big new reset. So here's the reality. And this is absolutely, positively, unequivocally, I believe, going to happen. We're not going to meet our 1.5. In fact, we're past that. We're going to start shooting up very fast to 2. Why? Because there's a race between China and the United States in maintaining world economic dominance. For example, our trading partner, the European Union, which has over 500 million people, we went down over 7% in trading with them, but China rose and took that up, and now China's manufacturing as much as it can, as fast as it can. The United States is trying to do the same, and India, clueless about anything that makes sense on any level except exploiting its own people by Modi and his corrupt government. So they're like three scorpions in a cocktail glass all fighting to see which one's going to climb out of the glass first. No concern whatsoever by corporate America that everything they're doing is leading to a hotter world, because in their minds, that day when they wake up, they don't see their lives adversely affected. They have homes all over the world. They can go to a better place. They're not hungry. They're safe. They feel entitled to everything. And so we're on a one-way street going in the wrong direction, and you're going to see what just happened in Kentucky. You're going to start seeing that in other states that never had this before, and where you're going to have worst events ever. Last year, we had over 125,000 unique events. This year, we're going to go much more beyond that. Well, how many years can you have a once-in-500-year storm, and you have five of them in 1 year? And how many Category 5 and 6 hurricanes can hit Florida and Puerto Rico and the Gulf states until you realize, wow, insurance is not covering it? Oh, and by the way, insurance premiums in some places have doubled. Some people can't afford flood insurance and tornado insurance, hurricane insurance. They can't afford these insurances. And so they're just playing Russian roulette. all the more reason to look carefully where you're at. Is it sustainable? In most places, the answer is no. And then we go to this one. This is from Climate News Network. The Gulf Stream is growing feebler. The Arctic seas are gaining fresh water. Together, they could affect the world's weather. Quote, the Atlantic Conveyor, otherwise the Gulf Stream, that great flow of surface water pouring northwards that overturns in the Arctic and heads south again at great depth, is now weaker than at any point in the last 1,000 years, European scientists report. And in a second separate but related study, researchers have found that the Beaufort Sea in the Arctic has gained 2/5 more fresh water in the last 20 years, water that could flow into the Atlantic to affect the conveyor, and with that, climate conditions. What it means is that when this slows down to a certain point, you could have enormous weather changes, both for Europe first, and you could end up with all kinds of catastrophes from the Mediterranean clear up through Scotland, Ireland, Arctic. No one's doing anything about it. All right? And we're not going to do anything about it. We'll talk about it, you know, but doing something, that's different. So we have to have the courage to tell the truth. And we just don't seem to be at a place where we can do that. So that's where we're at. That's why I'm trying to empower people by giving you positive solutions, what you can do now, today, in your own life. And people should be tested for a lot of things where there's no symptoms. How would you know that you had high blood pressure or elevated homocysteine or elevated C-reactive protein? Or if you had a cancer occurring somewhere in your body, it could take years before it manifests as a tumor. There's at least 100 different reasons why I believe people should be tested, even when they're completely healthy, because it gives you a more honest look at what you're doing right or wrong. This morning I counseled someone who I know, who's 89 years of age and just was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer and colorectal cancer. And they said the only thing they could do is chemotherapy. Well, let them show you the science, peer-reviewed science, that therapy would work. I haven't seen that. I've looked at the science. I have a new book on cancer that will be coming out shortly. I have 5 new books coming out in the next 12 months. But the most definitive book ever written on cancer for the layperson and professionals of what works and what doesn't. Of all the different therapies, what actually can be proven by qualified science to work. And if I told you that half of the people who die from cancer, that's almost 600,000 a year, 550, 40, 70, are dying from the treatments, which means that shouldn't we be changing the treatments when, if you could say that 300,000 people more or less a year are dying because of the treatment, then surely someone would say, well, let's change the treatment. But they won't do it. Too much profit and a rigidity in thought. But if there's something that works, let's do it. Same way with alternative therapies. If there's something that works, let's use it. So on that side of the equation, there's a lot of reasons to be tested. But is she correct about the PCR? She's absolutely correct about the PCR. In fact, I have a clip up with Carrie Mullis, who invented the PCR, explaining that. Now, what did she mean by there's no COVID? Yeah, there's COVID. But there was a discussion about 6 months ago. Was the sequence of it completely completed? And there is where there is some discussion. And I'm going to have on a physician, a very competent science expert and medical doctor, to explain some of the processes they did not complete. But that does not mean that there is not a sequencing. So, but it's very rare to have someone who's in medicine, who's on the front lines, who comes forward and has that kind of resolve to say it like it is, knowing that most people would reject it based upon temperament, but go beyond the temperament. Look at the facts. And by the way, Texas governor just opened up the state. Now, what I would have done, I would, if he asked my advice, I'd say, Governor, open up half the counties in the state, half the counties with a strong population in urban areas, and half in the counties are not going to be open. Everything stays the same. And then after 3 months, re-examine the statistics. How many infections and deaths, hospitalizations did you have in each age group in the counties that were closed and the counties that were open? Because we know we've been lied to, absolutely lied to, about how many people have actually died. In fact, don't take my word for it, go to the CDC's own website and look under proven deaths, mortality from COVID, the virus, and it's 7%. That means that 93% of the people dying are not dying exclusively because of COVID. And a high percentage of those people are dying of comorbidities in nursing homes, assisted living centers, et cetera, even in hospice care. What kind of scientist or physician would legitimate the idea that a person dying in hospice care, meaning you're in hospice care to die, nothing medicine can do, you go into a place and you can live for a day, a week, a month, but you're going to die. And then when you die, say it was because of COVID. That's the insanity and corruption. That is not my lack of intent. So I'd like your thoughts on this and her comments. 888-874-4888. Now, I got a question about Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine ingredients, and people were concerned of what was in it, and seems that the medium used to grow out the adenovirus is DMEM, which is only a very high nutrient-rich medium of many amino acids, vitamins, and minerals, and does not rely upon any animal cells. But the and its active ingredient is a recombinant, replication-incompetent adenovirus 26 expressing the SARS-2 spike protein. There's citric acid monohydrate. There's trisodium citrate dihydrate, which is a food preservative to control pH. There's ethanol. There's 2-hydroxypropyl B cyclodextrin, or HBCD, that's a oligosaccharide that is very common in drug preparations. And there's polysorbate 80, aside from the viral vector, the only other ingredient that is worrisome, and sodium chloride. So I hope that answers the question that you asked. Now, I'm going to share some comments before we go any further, because I'm concerned of what I see happening. I wasn't around with McCarthyism, but I love history. And I had the benefit of my first job in New York City working at the Writers Literary Agency as just a junior, nondescript title. I did copy editing, ghostwriting for some famous authors. The agency was owned by Sarah Donah, who was a radical feminist, a communist from the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. She was 80 years old at the time. I was like 22. But because I didn't have an actual office, I just liked a little alcove with a little tiny desk and just piles of writing material. Every evening, while I was still there, some of these older, really outstanding intellects would come by. Many times they talk about the effects of McCarthyism on their careers and their friends' careers and how wrong it was. And they were right. Everything about McCarthyism was wrong. And the primary targets of any kind of group first has to have a suspicion about the group. Well, with McCarthy, the first people they reach for were government employees, and then those in the entertainment industry, and then in academia, and then finally labor union activists. Many people suffered loss of employment or destruction of their careers, and some were imprisoned. Most of these punishments came about through trial verdicts that were later overturned. Precedents that gave rise to McCarthyism, you have to go back and say, where did this start? Well, it started, the first Red Scare was 1917 to 1920. That was because of unions. And, of course, the big industrialists didn't want unions. They wanted to be able to work people, including children, as many hours and as cheaply as they could, with no responsibility if they should die or be injured on the job. Unions began to fight back, and thank goodness. President Harry Truman, an intellectual, well, I'll say he is one of the least bright of all the presidents, I'll put it in a kind word. He had an executive order, 9835. It was signed on March 21st, 1947, and it required all federal civil service employees to be screened for loyalty oath. Now, the more conservative politicians in the United States has historically referred to progressive reforms like child labor laws and women's suffrage as communist or red plots. They were neither, but these people were sociopaths. Far-right radicals in office were the bedrock of McCarthy's support, views they held in common, similar to today's far-right as well. Today's far-right is opposed to, let's say, the United Nations, opposed to social welfare, especially programs launched by the New Deal. They're opposed to political efforts to reduce social inequalities. They're major supporters of vaccination and fluoridation because, well, stupid things. Also, back then, they targeted gays who were believed to be subversive by nature. Over 5,000 federal workers were fired for just the suspicion they were gay. Thousands more were harassed and denied employment. There was a voice that was found to support them. That was William F. Buckley, a man of unbridled ego and narcissistic tendencies, and not a whit of common sense, and he had the National Review. He said that McCarthyism was a movement around which men of goodwill and stern morality can close ranks. Yeah, and you could say the same thing about Nazis and stormtroopers. In 1954, the Communist Control Act, passed unanimously by both parties in Congress, it outlawed the Communist Party and ruled that any organizations infiltrated by communists were entitled to any of the rights, privileges, and immunities that attended upon legal bodies. Who did they go after? Well, it doesn't do a lot of good to go after nobodies if you want to make a point, you want to put a notch on your political belt. So they went after Lucille Ball, Charlie Chaplin, Carl Foreman, Paul Robeson, Lee Grant, Sam Jaffe, Danny Kaye, Gypsy Rose Lee, Burgess Meredith, Zero Mostel, Edward G. Robinson, Gene Seberg, just some. They also went after some scientists, the physicist David Bohm, Linus Pauling, Albert Einstein, even Robert Oppenheimer, director of the Manhattan Project. But then they felt there must be a lot of communists within the music industry, so they went after Leonard Bernstein, Aaron Copland, Pete Seeger, Lena Horne, Otto Kleppinger. They went after W.E.D. Du Bois, Orson Welles, Allen Ginsberg, Thomas Mann. By the way, he was a Nobel Prize winner in literature. Arthur Miller. In fact, none of this stopped until Judge Earl Warren on the Supreme Court put an end to McCarthyism on December 2, 1954. The Senate voted 67-22 to condemn McCarthy for, quote, conduct that tends to bring the Senate into dishonor and disrepute, end quote. But that was then. Now our Senate and our House, our executive branch, and it is irrelevant whether it's Republican or Democratic control, is in disrepute and dishonor. In fact, it is just, it is a place, it's almost like a pit of vipers. And it's all controlled by the deep state. For the deep state, it doesn't matter which party is protesting or is on the streets or is on the ascendancy. It doesn't matter if it's left or right, since they are both working with the deep state. I'll give you one example. Brennan's the darling of the cable news networks. And, wow, he swore to Congress that scores of drone strikes approved by Obama abroad had not killed a single combatant. That's correct. Over 1,400 were dead. He knew that. He lied. He lied emphatically that the CIA had not illegally accessed the computers of U.S. Senate staffers who were then exploring a CIA role in torturing detainees. He lied, and also he lied about torture. He insisted that there was no spying on the 2016 Trump campaign. He testified that he neither knew who had commissioned the Steele dossier, nor had the CIA relied upon his content for any action. Big lie. Both retired National Security Agency Director Michael Rogers and the former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper have conceded the Steele dossier, along with the knowledge that it was a Hillary Clinton campaign-funded product, most certainly did help shape the Obama intelligence community, interagency assessments and actions, often under the urging of Brennan himself. He took notes, now declassified, you can see this for yourself, after being briefed with President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's plans to frame then-presidential candidate Donald Trump as a Russian asset. Quote, alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on July 26, 2016, of a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by Russian security services, end quote. Okay, I don't like anything about Donald Trump. I'm sorry he was president. Bernie Sanders would have been a lot better, and Jill Stein would have been better still. But that's irrelevant. The fact is that all of the major media, all of your newspapers, television, had that Russia, Russia, Russia for everything. They all knew it was lies. Anybody could have found out it was lies. But we were all misled. And important things that should have been done and addressed were not. But here's why you should think even deeper, because the ongoing lies about Iran building nuclear weapons, having violated nuclear agreements, the leading sponsor of state terrorism, working with al-Qaeda, a ludicrous claim, Gaddafi. It was the deep state that provided the intelligence information that he was sponsoring terrorism, therefore to launch regime change. He wasn't sponsoring terrorism. It benefited big oil and preserved U.S. hegemony of the petrodollar and U.S. financial interests in Africa. Russia meddling in the elections. Four separate investigations found that Russia was not doing this. No. Russian-China war narratives enables defense budgets to increase annually. Rattle the sabers. Efforts to prosecute those who favor divesting in Israeli firms. Conflating criticism of Israel government with anti-Semitism. Entire rationale for fueling regime change in Ukraine due to Russia meddling. No. It benefited Cargill, Monsanto, and Wall Street investments with big oil. To have Russia no longer have a say-so, but rather have the United States. So fake that there is a war. Ongoing wars in Somalia, Yemen, Syria, the war against ISIS. Who benefits? Private military contractors and Wall Street investors and the power of the CIA and the Defense Department. The entire narrative against Venezuela and other socialist-leaning nations like Ecuador and Bolivia has a destabilizing element on those countries. Why? Because the United States wants control of their oil and large mineral resources, especially in Bolivia. Glenn Greenwald talked about infiltration of the CIA and the Department of Justice and the FBI and the National Security Agency into the media and into Silicon Valley so that they could tell Americans what they ought to believe. Widespread domestic and foreign surveillance of citizens. Who benefits? Huge industries of intelligence and security firms in Silicon Valley. Imposing new surveillance technologies under the ruse of viral tracking, but as a backdoor for more egregious surveillance and spying, data collection on citizens, get into your home. So when you're on the grid of all things with 5G, you are now watched and listened to 24/7. Each of the last four presidents pursued deregulatory agendas as part of financial reform, although regulations to protect the public from corporate greed and abuse. TARP, bailout, Well, that didn't work, all right? And yet corporations got it. Ongoing protection of Citizens United and keeping the elites in power, huge private contracts to keep Americans under surveillance. All administrations, Democrat or Republican, favor big oil and have done nothing about climate change. Obama's hydrofracking was massive and pushed for more nuclear bombs. Aggressive efforts to prevent universal health care. Mind you, we could have done universal health care a long time ago. They've chosen not to because of how much money private insurance companies that would lose out and big pharma and hospitals would lose out if we had universal health care. GMOs, they say they're necessary for food security. Not true. Enabling Monsanto to control the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Terrible. Attacks against the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Adam Schiff's influence to censor anti-vaxxers on social media. Manipulating fear of a virus to keep the country locked down to disrupt all of our institutions, particularly education. And does Bill Gates have an agenda in wanting kids to be taught from computer classes? Yeah. Playing the race card, white privilege, repression of blacks and other minorities at a deeper psychological level, push down resentments, hatreds into the unconscious rather than bring them forth into awareness. This is a psychological means for future control. We're controlled not by what we are consciously aware of, but by the destructive emotions and energies that get further buried into the unconscious, and they are masters of putting people against people, races against races, cultures against cultures, and then the class system. You never see anyone from the lower economic classes being appointed to important policymaking positions anywhere. So save your virtue shaming for someone who believes anything you have to say. I don't. So let me put this into possibly a more understandable perspective. America thought that it would never have another Red Scare, another McCarthyism, another persecution of liberals, unionists, people who were important journalists, even legislators, because of some sociopaths. But now we have that all over again. We have people who are pathologically lying to us at every chance, and yet they're not called out once by the media. And yet today, it is the progressive movement and the historical liberals who are being victimized, but also this is being done in the name of liberalism, but it's not liberals who are doing this. It is the corporate elite insider Democrats. And that's unfortunate because now they're telling us what our race should be, even though we have no control over it. And if we don't have the right genes, then somehow we are born inferior and can never outgrow that. Think of D'Angelo's best-selling book on white fragility and corporations now insisting we must show that we are rejecting our whiteness. That's insane. Could you imagine if you did that to an Asian American? Could you imagine if you did that to a Latino? Reject your genetic background. Or even African Americans, reject that. That's racism. That's rampant racism in the name of anti-racism. Then we have buildings being destroyed, small businesses, mainly minorities, being destroyed, careers and savings destroyed in the name of anti-fascism. So we have a whole pro-fascist movement disguised as anti-fascism. And then we're supposed to believe that somehow we trust these media sources who do not report objectively. They lie about everything. So that's why we do have a new form of McCarthyism. But this time there are tens of millions of victims who have nothing in the world to be responsible for. They didn't cause this. And we've got to see it for what it is if we're going to stop it. Then we have the government. And I've said this repeatedly. You cannot trust the government when all it seeks is power over you. Who was it who said that how secure do our homes remain if police armed with no warrant can pound on doors at will and forcibly enter. That was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she was the lone dissenter in a ruling Kentucky versus King. So are you safe now in your homes? You're not safe from being criticized based upon your the color of your skin. The quality of your character, your moral values are irrelevant. How many people you honor, honoring all life is sacred and meaningful, is irrelevant. You must be on the right side of wokeness. But the government knows it doesn't have to abide by any rules. So today, friends, you are no longer safe, even in your home. This present menace comes from the government and is its army of bureaucrats and corporatized, militarized mercenaries who, according to John Whitehead, are waging a war on the best, last, strongest place you have, the sanctity of your home. What do I mean? The weapons of this particular war are personal security and our freedoms, and include an abundance of laws that criminalize almost everything we do. A government that views our private property as its own. Militarized police who have been brainwashed into believing that they operate above the law. Courts that insulate police from changes in their structure and therefore protect them from any charges of wrongdoing. Legislators that legitimize the government's usurpation of our rights. And a populace that is unfortunately so misinformed of their rights and distracted by partisan politics as to be utterly incapable at this moment of standing up to the government's overreaches, incursions, and power grabs. This is how far the mighty have fallen. Government agents, with or without a warrant, with or without probable cause, that criminal activity is afoot, and with or without the consent of you, the homeowner, are now justified in mounting home invasions in order to pursue traffic violators, seize lawfully owned weapons, carry out knock-and-talk chats where they determine that they want to come into your home and chat with you about something. And it can be in the dead of night. They believe that they're trying to protect society. No, they're not protecting society. No, these are not our community caretakers. This doesn't even begin to touch on the many ways the government and its corporate partners in crime may be using surveillance technology, with or without the blessing of the courts, to invade your home with wiretaps, thermal imaging, surveillance cameras, and however, while the courts and the legislatures have yet to fully address the implications of such virtual intrusions on our Fourth Amendment, there's no mistaking the physical intrusions by police into the privacy of one's home. The toehold entry, the battering ram, the SWAT raid, the knock-and-talk conversations, etc. And whether such intrusions, warranted or otherwise, are unconstitutional continues to be litigated and legislated and debated. The spirit of the Constitution, drafted by individuals who chafed against the heavy-handed tyranny of an imperial ruler, would suggest that one's home is a fortress, safe from almost every kind of intrusion. Unfortunately, a collective assault by the government's cabal of legislators, litigators, judges, and militarized police has all but succeeded in reducing that fortress and the Fourth Amendment alongside it to a crumbling pile of rubble. So that is where we're at today. Now the question is, what now do we expect? Well, here are a few ideas. Already Bill Gates, working with the BBC and multiple major corporations, is putting together a group of people in secret who will review all information that goes on the internet and take it back to its source to determine, is it legitimate or is it fake, false? In which case, then it can be purged. So now imagine what they're going to say is false and should be purged so no one can see it. And even being punitive so people who are dispensing this information can be punished, prosecuted, put in jail. if you question the safety and efficacy of any vaccines, if you question anything about COVID, the reliability or the scientific accuracy of the PCR test, if you question the lockdowns and their legitimacy, if you question the closure of schools, even though the science does not support the closure of schools, or the vulnerability of the children to succumb to the COVID virus. More children will succumb each year to the flu and have, and yet they never close to school because of that. So you see, now this one group is working under Bill Gates, but also the administration is working on having a reality czar, someone who will have the total power to determine what is real and false. So any challenge to the government? False. Any challenge to the media? False. Any challenge to big tech and its censorship? False. Any challenge to using its algorithms to determine the outcome of information? False. Any challenge to science for hire? False. Attacking the putrid character of many corporations, including pharmaceutical giants, including those making drugs, to show these are not corporations to be trusted because they betrayed the public trust, and here's a record, a long record of serial criminal offenses, false. So where then do you go for your truth? And now that they have the power to invade your privacy, to collect any and all data, to come into your home, to criticize you and demean you and shame you in all social media, then what is left? We are entering the most dangerous time in American history. And the more progressive minds, the more historical liberal minds, we are the targets. So just be aware of what's coming. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.